the one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
Wrestling time, ladies and gentlemen. This is episode 132 of the Rant Wrestling Podcast. This is Booty KD, one half of the world tag team champions. And you pretty much know who the normal two guys here. One of them is always on the west side, and that is Westside Goff.
Yay, yay.
Yay,
Westside.
Throw him up. And, the tweener world champion, who's been here since day one. You know him, you love him, you hate him. It's Dude Day. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, backed by unpopular demand.
Alright, I guess we could just get right to it. So, news first?
I'll just go through the New Japan stuff and the related news all together so we can knock that all out the way.
Cool.
Alright, since one of the news things actually has to do with Matt Sydal not catching any of these shows. There was some confusion. This is what I know happened. A flight from LAX to Hawaii was at least delayed a day because he said he slept in baggage claim. And then he fell off the grid for about 4 or 5 days. So after everything went down with the New Japan shows having to shuffle because of him and obviously Shibata, Sydal tweeted out that that there was a passport issue trying to leave Hawaii. So that's why Matt Sydal was not on the shows. Delayed flights, passport issues. So New Japan just went ahead and pretty much replaced him, his existence right now with David Finlay. So I'll get into that in a moment as I run down these two shows. The Destruction in Hiroshima opened up with a match we don't really need to talk about. I don't know why the guy who did the results here still had he didn't fix up this thing because it turned it into a 6-man match rather than the 8-man match it was because it was Kojima, Ricochet and Finlay teaming. No, Ricochet actually had new tights to match, so I'm assuming Matt Sydal had new tights to match with Ricochet too since they're the never open weight tag champs. But Kojima end up picking the victory for that one. There was an 8-man tag match. Well, another 6-man tag match because they reshuffled it. That one didn't really matter too much. But Bobby Fish and O'Reilly, I guess because they're going to push them, they ended up hitting Chasing the Dragon on both Hanma and Tiger Mask 4. That was the main highlights. Oh, and Manabu Nakanishi, if you guys know, he's the older Asian dude. He's like almost 300 pounds, like big, full of muscles, like what, 50 years old or some shit. He tried to do a slingshot plancha to the outside. Almost fucked up. Caught his foot, but, you know, props for being an old dude trying to hang in there with the guys. He's 49 years old, 6'1", 265 pounds. Oh, I also did not realize he's an amateur wrestler who competed in the 92 Olympics in Barcelona. That's pretty cool.
Interesting.
Yeah, but, you know, he's a big dude, so I was like, he is not trying to do a fucking plancha. And it was And he was, you know how they push back and forth on the rope sometimes to get ready? He did it for a little while, and he tried to do it on O'Reilly. And even though O'Reilly put some muscle on, O'Reilly should not be trying to catch Nakanishi. I'm just saying.
Right.
Yeah. Pretty good tag. Pretty good tag match with RPG Vice and God, Gorillas of Destiny ended up picking up the victory. Good match with Goto and Ishii taking on Takahashi and Chase Owens. I actually like Takahashi as a tag wrestler more than a singles wrestler. At least as a tag wrestler, he can come in, do his spots, and then tag out to a better wrestler.
Yeah.
But I do appreciate that he's walking out with a lot of fine, beautiful women. So I think, if I remember right, the women were also wearing like black bunny mask stuff going. So thank you, Takahashi, for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Pretty good LIJ versus Elgin, Tanahashi, Robinson, and Kushida match. with Elgin and Kushida just sort of laying out everybody after the match. Then there was the tag title match for the heavyweight tag team titles. The junior champions, the Young Bucks, challenging Mark and Jay Briscoe. This is a fucking awesome match, you guys. This was definitely the Briscoes' best match, obviously, in New Japan. But this might have actually been the Young Bucks' best match in New Japan, too. I'm going out on a limb and saying that right here. This, and they almost killed fucking Mad Jax, and he talked about one of the spot, the big spot they did on a Periscope that they did with, the Elite did with Adam Cole. By the way, Adam Cole with the Elite of the Young Bucks is now called the Dream Team.
I will figure. That is kind of the Dream Team.
Yeah. But the spot was a fucking avalanche, an avalanche crucifix bomb neckbreaker. You know how the Briscoes do the crucifix bomb into a neckbreaker? They did it off the fucking top rope turnbuckle. I thought they killed Matt. It was a great match. Obviously, the crowd is still kind of new to the Briscoes because the Briscoes don't wrestle there that much. But they were definitely getting into it at the halfway point. I would say go out of your way to see this match. Best match of the show. Adam Cole beat Will Ospreay. It was a pretty good match, though. Cole whiffed on one of Ospreay's big moves, so that didn't look good.
I was wondering if he was going to hang with him, too.
He hung with him pretty well. I thought that the middle needed to shave a few minutes because the beginning and the last, like, 3-4 minutes were really good. But he didn't go with that, the standing shooting star, the standing Spanish fly. That was the problem. There was another one he kind of messed up on, but overall, Cole looked good. And the crowd actually responded pretty well to him. Okada and Bad Luck Fale had a pretty good match, with Fale trying to damage Okada's arm so he wouldn't be able to do the Rainmaker. And then Omega successfully defended his contract against Yoshihashi. It was an all right match. It wasn't as good as their G1 match. Overall, it was a pretty good show, but I would say if you could catch the tag title match, it was great. Oh, and then God attacked the Briscoes at the end of it, so I'm assuming God might win the titles back because the Briscoes, you know, they're not really in, I guess, in the ability to tour Japan like they need to. So they might want to put the titles on someone who can. I don't know. But definitely Briscoes versus Bucks, great match. All right, and then the 25th show, I mean, from September 25th, let's see, Tiger Mask, Taguchi, and one of the newer young lions, Hener, who's a from New Zealand. He's a bigger dude. He's actually a young lion heavyweight. They actually beat Will Ospreay and RPG Vice. They're, I guess they're teasing some dissension amongst Romero and Beretta, so we'll see.
Oh, boy.
And one of the biggest fucking twists I've ever seen in a match that realistically nobody fucking cared about, there was a poll that Yoshitatsu was doing about Captain New Japan to kind of see if he wants to keep tagging with him. So, I don't speak Japanese, so I don't exactly know what Yoshitatsu was saying for like 5-6 minutes, so I tried to skip ahead, and I'm like, wait a minute, what the hell just happened? I had to go back. But Captain New Japan attacks Yoshitatsu and helps the Bullet Club beat Yoshitatsu.
You're just laughing at him right now.
Yeah. Captain New Japan is an official member of the Bullet Club.
Oh my God.
What? They changed his name. He's now Bone Soldier. And Finn Balor found out, and he tweeted, no!
So what, wow. He's like, so he's basically their mascot now.
Yeah, he's pretty much their mascot.
Wow.
And this was brilliant because you're like, wait, they can't possibly be doing this. And they did that shit, and you're like, well, props on making a match no one cared about be an actual highlight of this fucking show. But, I mean, this is good news for, Takahashi, because now he'll can take even less falls in matches. Because he started being the fall guy, now Bone Soldier can take all the falls. So, you know, good for him, I guess. Right. But yeah, it was interesting. Tenzin teamed up with another one of the new, one of the other young lions who's been around for about less than a year, but hasn't really gotten much on any of the big shows, Teraki. I can't pronounce that name. Kenmitsu, I can pronounce that. They teamed up against GBH. This is like the fourth time I've seen Kenmitsu. He looked really good here. Like, he actually had some fire. I think it might be because Shibata, like, badmouthed a lot of the young lions that they didn't have any fire, and he didn't think they should have been called up already. But Kenmitsu actually came out swinging. But, you know, GBH beat them, obviously. It was a pretty good match. And then, Red Dragon. I think this match officially moves them into the heavyweight tag division as they defeated Yuji Nagata and Manabu Nakanishi when O'Reilly made Nakanishi tap out. So, I am hoping we see them in the World Tag League, which would be a very, which would be nice.
That would be like the next step, because they've been in the junior tag, what, like twice now, three times? So,
yeah,
moving up.
Yeah, titles, I think they've been three times. They're still pretty much close to undefeated, too. They've only been, I think, properly pinned twice in all of New Japan. In their debut match and in one match with RPG Vice. I think those are the only ones they've actually lost. Every other loss was in multi-man tag matches. So they've protected them really well. They and the president is supposed to be a really big fan of Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish, your client. So, like I said last week, you can expect them to either sign a New Japan contract or at least stay with Ring of Honor longer. So, you know, they're going to be working for the company for a while. Plus, I think Bobby Fish being 39 kind of almost prevents him from ever going to WWE. But, you know, who knows? WWE is weird right now. All right. Since Seidel didn't make the shows, technically the champs forfeited the six-man titles, so this match was to crown the new six-man champions. So Kojima and Ricochet teamed with David Finlay versus Adam Cole and the Young Bucks. And Ricochet, Finlay, and Kojima won. So David Finlay has gone from Young Lion to not Young Lion to an actual New Japan champion. All the other guys, you know, they went on excursions to come back to win titles. Not David Finlay. So, congratulations to David Finlay. They won using a combination of the rolling, the Finlay roll, and so, and then Ricochet hit the shooting star press. This was a really good six-man tag match. Go out of your way to see this one. You know, if you have to, if you can only watch a few shows, like I said, the last show, catch the tag title match. This one, definitely catch the six-man match. It was really good. Adam Cole looked great working this match. The spots with a couple of his spots with Kojima was pretty nice too. A couple things out of this one. Apparently, Ospreay, Romero, and Beretta have challenged for the six-man titles, while at the same time, Ricochet and Finlay have challenged for the junior tag titles against the Young Bucks. So one of these matches was made official. All right, there was an eight-man match with Chaos, Goto, Ishii, and the Briscoes taking on Omega, Fale, and God. It was all right. It was a pretty good match. Tanahashi, Juice, and Kushida lost to Sonata, Evil, and Bushi. Then there was the eight-man Noah versus New Japan match, which was pretty good, but not as good as the last couple. And then the main event, the second match I would say to see on this one, Naito defeated Elgin for the Intercontinental title. This is a really good match, too. But I think that when they uploaded it to the on-demand, there's a couple of clip spots that I think they're glitches. I hope they fixed it because it kind of fucked me up when I was watching it. But other than that, it was a good match. So overall, these two shows, all the Destruction shows got better as they went. This was the best of them. But the Briscoes match was my favorite of all the matches on the tour. And some quick New Japan notes. I already talked about Seidel. One of the guys I follow who talks about New Japan said that the Naito Elgin main event show did 5,400 people, which was only like 700 people less than they did last year. And this was a less of a stacked card. So it shows that Naito is the draw that some people online apparently are doubting, even though they're like, well, Naito can't draw a bitch. New Japan had like 6-7 guys leave this year. They don't have AJ Styles, they don't have Nakamura, they don't have freaking Gallows and Anderson, and they don't have Kota Ibushi. He did the Destruction shows also last year. That's a pretty good fucking number for Naito. He's pretty much carrying the weight of a lot of guys who left. And this is very good for Elgin too. It means they can slot him into big main event pay-per-views. So there's that. The King of Pro Wrestling lineup did get announced. So we will be seeing the Bucks defend against, like I said, Ricochet and Finlay. Ricochet also has teased at some big non-WWE wrestling news, so he might be signing a contract to New Japan, or I don't know what's going on. We'll find out. They announced Goto versus Omega again. Shibata will be doing the match against Kyle O'Reilly, so expect Kyle O'Reilly to get busted open by a headbutt.
Maybe.
Yes. No, he will be. Okay, Shibata's gonna get busted open from the headbutt. O'Reilly, maybe. God will challenge for the tag titles. There's another New Japan Noah match. And then a few multi-man matches, and then I guess there's also a... They're actually gonna open with a Young Lions match. So, okay lineup there. Kenny Omega did some announcements to their them and Adam Cole and the Young Bucks were did a Periscope thing where they answered a bunch of questions. They were asked who they thought should be in Japan, and they started talking about Chuck Taylor. Because Nick said that he thinks Chuck Taylor would be good in New Japan, and Omega said he tried to get him into DDT. That didn't happen. So that's kind of depressing. But also, Omega tweeted out after TJ Perkins unveiled some of his stuff at the recent pay-per-view. His tweet was, "My moves, my image, my ex, and now my music. Was it something I said?" With the little smirky face.
Oh, he wasn't the first one. He wasn't the only one that was hating on TJP that night. We'll get to that.
I don't think he was necessarily hating, but you know, I thought it was amusing. But I'm sure people were hating.
I look at him more of like a lot of them were just talking shit. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I think with Omega though, when he was talking about his ex, he was talking about joking about his ex partner. I think his tweet was more about WWE doing a lot and a lot of the associates doing stuff that he, you know, kind of his calling card. But you know, good on him, I guess. Him having fun. We all know WWE probably wants him. And I believe that is it for any New Japan news. I can't tell you quickly Akira Tozawa's last Dragon Gate match is in November. So, yeah. I think WWE, because they're moving all the guys from other countries, they have to sign them to full-time contracts if they're moving here. So, whereas some of the American guys like Gulak aren't going to have to worry about, aren't going to be full-time for a while. But, yeah, all right, there, that's it.
Alright, I guess we move to the WWE side. Now, the Night of Champions. Night of Clash of Champions. Night of Champions, the Clash of Champions, Clash of the Champions. That show that happened last weekend in Indianapolis, Indiana. We watched it, me and Doomsday, in the PS4 party chat, but did we watch it? Because I didn't even watch the whole thing. I actually came home. I think the Sami Zayn Chris Jericho match was just in the middle a little bit. You know, it was about to end, so that's when I came about. So Nia Jax defeated Alicia Fox, and is Alicia Fox dead this time?
Not
because last time I thought she was dead. So so she's alive.
It's like,
okay.
Are you dead, man?
She's dead.
It was an okay match.
Yeah, it was okay.
Cool. The show finally starts off with the New Day, because I always book them to start shows off, but no, this time they actually didn't want to listen to me, but they did it anyway. The New Day defending their WWE Raw Tag Team Championships against Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson. We said Karl Anderson and Gallows was going to win, but the New Day, 400 days plus, are still the WWE World Tag Team Champions. Is this good or bad?
Bad.
Bad.
Bad. Why bad?
Because you're destroying Gallows. You're destroying Gallows and Anderson, basically.
Oh, they already did that.
Well, they're making it even worse.
Because now that, what, they were serious for like, what, 1 week?
Yeah.
And that's it. Now they lost being serious. They lost when they were a joke. So now they're losers, just like Bray Wyatt.
And the sad thing is, this was a really good match. It might actually be my favorite match on the show, to be honest with you. Ooh. It started hot and stayed hot the whole time. I was really impressed with this match.
Alright.
I didn't even realize it was this short, because damn, it was good.
Yeah, I didn't know it was that short either. New Day, still tag team champions, going strong. TJ Perkins going up against the Brian Kendrick. First time they, you know, defended the WWE Cruiserweight Championship, and TJ Perkins has been successful. He wins, he defeats Brian Kendrick, but then Brian Kendrick delivers a Timothy Thatcher-style headbutt and just been heel. He's full heel now, so no one likes
him. Yeah.
I like him.
All right, how was the match?
It was pretty good.
There was a couple of spots, but other than that, yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah.
Good.
And speaking of the spots, I don't know. So, like, TJP, his whole signature nowadays is just doing that whole fireman's carry to, like Pele kick type thing.
Yeah.
And then transitioning into the knee bar. Ricochet seems like he's been critical of that. I believe, he had made a comment basically saying, like, what was it? He said, head kick followed by a knee bar. He was basically throwing some shade saying, like, how does that work or something like that? And I was like, okay, I guess that Ricochet is a little bit peeved, that he's kind of using his move or something like that or whatever. I don't know.
I thought Cedric used that move. I thought that was the kick to kill.
You know, the first person I saw do that was Evie from New Zealand. Years before I actually even saw, well, at least maybe a year before I saw Cedric do it. I don't know who did it first, but I knew Evie from New Zealand was doing that years ago. And she called it called TTYL.
Oh, that's cool.
Later.
But, like, yeah, I thought Cedric did it, like, before that was one of his moves. But what's with the hate on TJ Perkins, man? People are still hating on this man.
Well, I found out some women hate him because of some misogynistic shit he said. So, you know.
Yeah, I heard about that, yeah.
That one, I'm like, okay, all right, as long as you have a reason. Other ones, I'm not quite sure why they don't
like. Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Right, so, I mean, it's not the skills. Because he always had that, you know, even before he went to Ring of Honor, he was a BWG, definitely has the ring skills. I don't know how his promo work is, but I know in ring, he dabs on fools. And most people like that, so.
His promo work is okay.
It's average at best, yeah.
Right, you know. Alright, so next we got the Best of Sevens finale. Series is tied 3-3, Sheamus. Versus Cesaro.
This was actually my match of the night.
Okay.
Like, these dudes straight up tried to murder each other. And one part was real scary because, Cesaro went for, he dove through the ropes, but he landed on his head. Like, it was almost Lita-esque. You know, you know that dive that Lita did and then broke her neck?
Mm-hmm.
It was almost like that, like, just like...
You gotta be more specific, man, because there's a lot of dives Lita did where I thought she was about to kill herself.
Well,
one that straight up broke her neck, like...
Oh.
Like, she landed on her face, and basically her body, her her head, and then, like, her body kind of, like, bent...
Backwards.
Yeah, kind of, like, bent upwards and forwards, and it was a really awkward landing. It was really nasty.
I remember when Christian saved her from dying once.
Basically, her whole body landed on her neck.
The Undertaker had almost kind of death neck, but he fell. Like, his body folded in. Lita folded back, and it just looked real gnarly, you know? So, yeah, but Cesaro is the Swiss Superman,
so
I'm pretty sure he should feel no pain.
He was fine. I don't know how that shit happened. I was like, if he doesn't have a concussion, it must be a goddamn miracle or something.
Saw that Swiss chocolate, man. It's like all pure. It just
the
flows
Swiss
to your veins.
The Swiss. But yeah, it was crazy. The funny thing is that it was my match of the night, but the ending was so fucking frustrating.
Well, I gotta be honest with you, the indies for most of this matches were just had me kind of shaking my head.
Yes. A lot of the endings, yeah, that's the common theme for Clash of Champions. A lot of endings.
I used to say the Perkins-Kendrick match probably had the best just straight indie of any match.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Cesaro-Sheamus was great.
Yeah, a lot of the endings just, like, left a lot to be desired.
And this just ended in a no contest. And I think, did one of y'all call this? Did one of y'all say it was going to end in a draw, or did I hear that from someone else?
No.
I thought Cesaro was going to win.
You know what? I had Cesaro, too. But
he didn't win Money in the Bank. He's done. That was his only chance to become something bigger than what he is, and he failed. Then he's nowhere. He's not.
If he was on SmackDown,
If he was on SmackDown, he'd be feuding with Bray Wyatt, and they would have had a no contest too, because they can't decide who's going
to
feud.
Now he's next in line to after the Ziggler-Miz feud. I honestly think that.
Didn't he win the Intercontinental title before Cesaro, or was that the U.S. title?
He won the U.S. title before. I know that
he won the U.S. title. I think he.
No, it was U.S. title.
He had it for a minute.
Yeah, he had it for a minute.
Yeah.
So next we have Sami Zayn going up against Chris Jericho. And last time I checked, Sami Zayn was on a pre-show last show.
Yeah.
Everybody's still talking about that big win he had against Kevin Owens at Battleground, I believe that's what it was.
Yeah.
And now he faces Mr. Drinking In Man, and Chris Jericho beats Sami Zayn.
Chris Jericho on his streak of beating guys, you're like, really? Okay.
I mean, hey, it's...
I think Chris Jericho has become the middle feud guy. They put him against somebody they want to push just to keep that guy out of the picture for a few months. They did it with Dean Ambrose. They've done it with AJ Styles. Now they're going to do it with Sami Zayn. Who knows who they're going to do it with next.
Yeah, and that Sami, he had momentum. I don't know if it's crushed, because I don't mind Chris Jericho winning, but...
It had a kind of deflating ending.
Somewhere.
It felt like it needed a couple more minutes, because it was building really hot at the end, and bam, stopped.
Right. You know, so, Sami, what do you do with him?
Sami Zayn has to lose. And then he has to win. I guess that's just his narrative. I mean, it's what he did in NXT. He lost a bunch, but then he won the big one. He had his thing with Kevin Owens. He lost a bunch, and then he won, you know, the big Battleground match. I guess that's just Zayn for you. I guess that's how they're going to book him. So I'm sure he's going to beat Jericho in 2 months. Or at the pay-per-view after the next Raw pay-per-view.
Oh, man, I guess. I would just try to give Sami Zayn a little bit more momentum. Not Jericho, because I'll be thinking Jericho might be going for another title shot if he keeps this up. That's why. He got to go somewhere. Jericho rarely loses anyway, unless he faces Dean Ambrose. Triple threat match for the Raw Women's Championship. Bayley against Charlotte versus Sasha Banks. Well, this match was cool. I did enjoy it for how long it was. Charlotte, the victor. She is still the women's champion, and I believe that was the right choice there, because they could have gave it back to Sasha Banks, and I think it would be a little too early to give it to Bayley. So what did you guys think of the women's match? Had a weird ending, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. The common theme of the night.
I think this match actually illustrates what Becky Lynch brought to the women's division, because Charlotte has athleticism, and she's big, so she has some pretty good stuff. Sasha has a lot of attitude, and Bayley's just very lovable. But Becky, between all of them, is probably the most technically proficient women's wrestler they have right now. So, like, the difference between this and the great match at WrestleMania is because I think Becky works so well as the glue to these matches. And Bayley, as much as I love her, I think she works better in singles matches. So while I liked this match, I just watched it and said, if this was a four-person match with Becky, this shit would be better. You know, good, but, you know.
I mean, not better than...
Not better than the WrestleMania match at all.
Okay.
And not better than Charlotte and Sasha's one-on-one match from, what, a month or so ago? But, you know, I liked it. But like you said, weird ending, so.
Yeah. I thought this was a really good one, but yeah, the ending just...
could have been better.
Threw me off. Yeah.
Alright. Next up, the WWE United States Championship match. Rusev Moshka going up against Roman Reigns. And this one was actually a really good match, as I was expecting it to. The crowd was live for it. And Lana did the best she could. We need more women like her. Stand by her, man. And Roman Reigns is the new champion of the United States. And I don't have a problem with it. Definitely took a lot of camera poses. Because I was just like, oh, yeah, they're putting this on a website. They're putting this on a highlight. Yeah, they are playing. So it looks like Roman Reigns is off his punishment. If he got the U.S. title.
Sure.
All right, what did you guys think of the match itself? I liked it.
Yeah, I liked them beating the shit out of each other, man. It was cool. I don't know, Rusev. As much as I liked it, I just hate seeing him lose all the time. That's my problem with all of this.
Roman Reigns been losing all like what 2 months, 3 months in.
Oh, that's his fault though.
Rusev is losing from just what? Just being there? I think he just, cause he ain't getting no punishment. The man just got married.
Yeah.
You know, so, but, I mean, maybe there might be an upside. You know, maybe after, well, this is, you know, fans dreaming right here. You know, he loses, maybe he can go to bigger and better things.
Well, like, if they had a face champion, maybe.
I mean, he's gonna get his rematch.
Yeah. I kind of like this match. I like parts of this match and parts of their match for Raw. I wish they kind of there was a way to combine them into one better match. But I liked it. I was happy the crowd liked it. That was my biggest takeaway.
Yeah.
The crowd was not assholes during a Roman Reigns match, which
miracle.
I appreciated it.
Yeah, basically miracle. You know, they needed something to get live for. And you know he has that Cena syndrome where people just, you know, dual chants and crowd is loud. And
oh, yeah, the dual chants, like, see, like, he started to get to that level where it's less of more booing and more of dual chants and shit. Like, he's starting to get more of that. So I guess it's better than nothing.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I'll take it. You know, Roman Reigns is the new champion of the U.S. of A.
And hopefully, he will Superman punch everybody in the White House and declare himself president.
And look at this. Like him, he just main evented at WrestleMania. So for him to have the U.S. title, would you dare say has been elevated?
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, I would like after he's done with the Rusev feud to maybe go back to doing like a the U.S. Open Challenge thing. I think that would really benefit him too, because I mean, I'll talk a little bit about why later.
Definitely work for Cena though.
Yeah.
And the main event, see who will be the champion of the universe: Kevin Owens, Seth Rollins, no Triple H. Coming out here.
Yeah, I'm surprised.
I thought he was going to show up, but he didn't. Chris Jericho showed up instead and helped out Kevin Owens. He is still the champion of the universe. Seth Rollins is pissed. I would be too. You guys got any thoughts on the main event?
Really great, but then, of course, the end threw me off once again.
Alright. My thoughts on this are a little more complicated. It's more about Seth Rollins. I thought the match was fine. But I realized that Rollins, Ambrose, and Reigns all have a similar flaw, and that's their control spots. Like, I watched Seth Rollins do, like, when Seth Rollins is starting out, and he's doing all this stuff to Owens. And, you know, it looks fine, but it doesn't have the personality of, like, when Owens took over the match. You know what I mean? Like, Rollins came out, he did things, but then when Kevin Owens took control of the match, it felt like it went into another gear, because Owens brought more of himself, a more of a snap, because you understand what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
Rollins does stuff, but sometimes when he does stuff, he feels like a robot. Whereas with Ambrose, when he's in control spots, there's a lot of times where it just seems like he's bored, like when he was wrestling Ziggler, or he just seems weird, like he's pulling, like, the least interesting stuff out of the 80s with those weak-ass punches. And and Reigns' problem in control spots is really only when he's dealing with guys the size of Rusev, guys he can't really throw around. That's why I like seeing Reigns in there with more experienced type guys or smaller guys. Because while his match with Rusev was good, you could tell that because Rusev is a much bigger guy, you couldn't really have Reigns do anything other than punch. And he's not a submission or technical wrestler. And these are all spots that guys can work on. With Reigns, I cut him slack because he's been wrestling a lot less, right?
Right.
With Ambrose and Rollins, I expect better. But other than that, I thought the match was good. Rollins, he did fine. I like Owens. Owens brings such a great personality to being a champion, just his mockery of things. And I agree, it had a weird ending to it, but that was the theme of the whole night. Raw, I don't know, I don't get it, but, you know, as long as the matches overall are good, I'm not going to complain too much, and the pay-per-view overall was pretty good.
Alright, good. This is a scale of 1 to 10. What would you grade the show? Was it better than Backlash?
No.
Okay. I'd give it a 7.5.
Yeah, because of the endings. Yeah. Like, we were distracted. You know football season's back on. So, I was looking at fantasy stuff the whole show. You know, just trying to make sure I win. Unfortunately, I lost thanks to Tevin Coleman. But, yeah, I would give it a 7.
I'd give it a 6.5. I liked it. I just didn't walk away with, like, a match of the night. Or, like, a big match of the month kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. They were all basically... Not like... Matches. Dean Ambrose, AJ Styles, or Miz Ziggler.
No, it didn't have enough marquee matches. I thought it was a good show, and I thought if they had fixed a couple of the endings, maybe it would have been a 7. Like, I swear to God, if Cesaro and Sheamus had an actual good ending, I probably would have knocked this up a bit more.
Okay, that makes sense. Alright, but that was the Clash of Champions. Of course, we're going to... Next show, I believe, is No Mercy, and Doomsday, I'm, I guess, going past to you so we can just talk about Raw and SmackDown.
Okay.
If you don't want to talk about Raw, please talk about SmackDown.
I actually watched Raw this time, most of Raw, so.
I was watching Monday Night Football because my Falcons was on TV, and we actually won when everyone was looking. Shocker. Shocker. We always lose Monday night games.
Congrats on that.
Thanks. About fucking time. Okay, Doomsday, go ahead.
Let me get that shit together.
I'm telling you, you don't have to talk about Raw if you don't want to. I'm pretty sure a lot of people won't blame you.
Well, while he gets the notes together, I'll give you my two news things that are really quick.
Alright.
Ethan Page is boycotting, Pro Wrestling Eclipse in Canada. The promoter allegedly assaulted two young fans after the show or something. The details are a little scarce, but there was some people talking about it. But Paige saying he's no longer going to work for that promoter and asking other Canadian reps not to either. So that was interesting, I guess. And one of our favorite luchadors, Phoenix, has left AAA.
Hmm.
He is now Rey Fenix. His first match outside of AAA, he wrestled CMLL contracted wrestler, who is now a WWE contracted wrestler, Mascara Matt Dorado, a.k.a. Grand Metalik, in one of Dorado's final Mexican indie matches before, you know, leaving CMLL and going to WWE full-time. So... and Phoenix is probably going to be wrestling AR Fox at the upcoming AAA show, but because he was booked, but they took him off, I guess, to deal with whatever new visa deals they have to do with now that Phoenix has left AAA, because AAA handled the indie bookings, but now that Phoenix is, you know, doing his own stuff, I imagine they had to pull him off temporarily before putting him back on. And I guess this was people saw this coming because Phoenix and the owner of AAA were at the Paley Fest together, and there was apparently some visible tension between the two. And that is all the rest of the news I have, so there you go.
Alright. Doomsday, you ready?
And boom, get the dynamite. Alright. Alright, so we're gonna breeze through Raw. Raw happens, Roman Reigns actually defends the U.S. title against Rusev a day after winning it. Shit goes awry during the match. After a while, it ends up being both counted out because of them just basically beating the shit out of each other outside the ring. And so no contest. After the match, they just kept fighting each other over and over and over again. End up getting back in the ring. Reigns, after Rusev tries to hit Reigns with a steel chair, Rusev counters with the spear. He picks up the steel chair and uses it on him. And that was it.
It was a pretty good match.
Yeah, it was pretty good. And there was a segment with Foley talking about Cesaro and Sheamus. They both came out. They had a hell of a match, blah, blah, blah. He was like, all right, since we couldn't really settle this and it was technically a draw at the end, we're going to give you both the opportunity. So now, basically, they are officially, I guess, a tag team, and they will have a tag team match, sometime soon or whatever. So basically, they would end up having their tag match against the winner of New Day and Gallows and Anderson, which is, of course, was another rehash of the night before. So New Day battles Gallows and Anderson. Gallows and Anderson catches the L once again, and
they become dorks.
Yeah, they officially become dorks, and now they end up getting kicked to the curb. So now it's New Day, and their new number one contenders are Sheamus and Cesaro.
Now, what happens if Sheamus and Cesaro win the tag team titles? Would y'all be cool with that?
No.
Would y'all
really
be like, it should have been with... Because that makes no... Like, doesn't make no sense
it
for
doesn't.
Them to go, like...
This is a problem for two reasons. First of all, Sheamus and Cesaro deserve better. And I'm saying Sheamus deserves better, so that's just weird.
Mm-hmm.
They both deserve... I only watched, like, one of the matches with these guys, and they both deserve singles title shots. Now, I don't mind Cesaro as a tag wrestler, but he's not teaming with Jack Swagger. He's not teaming with Tyson Kidd. He's teaming with Sheamus. It just doesn't feel right. And they don't have the same sort of chemistry Angle and Benoit did. Now, if they win, okay, whatever. But if they lose, it just proves that the New Day is a black hole destroying all the tag teams on Raw.
Whoa.
So
that
it's kind of
like a burial.
I like the New Day. I want to clarify. The New Day is fucking brilliant. But there comes a point where you can't have a tag team make every other tag team look that bad. And they were starting to make every tag team they wrestle look bad. Well, WWE was. They weren't struggling as much as they should have. And sometimes you just have to have the guys lose the titles, take a step back, let them work back to the title to be fresh. I mean, they kind of messed up the Vaudevillains this way. And they messed up Anderson and Gallows. There's no point of bringing Anderson and Gallows straight to the main roster and, you know, have them look like dorks. They didn't even really do their match with the Usos. Their feud with the Usos was so lackluster. And now they actually have heat. Now their matches are looking really good, and they're losing. It makes no sense.
Now, would y'all... I mean, this is what we've come to see when tag teams... You know, or anyone, singles, come to the main roster. You know, you would think they would be doing really well. You expect them to do really well. But then they just fail. You know, it's still happening to Cesaro to this day. You know, and he's been there longer than they have. So maybe, and I don't know what they're doing with Sasha Banks, but hey, that's what happens when you go to the main roster. Exactly what happens.
It's weird to me. I think that in some way Vince put his favorites on Raw, and he's sort of favoring them, whereas he only really put, like, some of those guys on SmackDown because he felt they needed the marquee roster. I don't know how to explain it. Because, like, he's favoring Charlotte, I would say, a little too much. I like Charlotte a lot. But I'm worried that she's going to end up being the same thing like the New Day, where it's going to start kind of getting boring. I don't know. You just kind of think that some of these guys need to get that little, that they deserved a little bit more, and they're not quite getting it. I mean, if Cesaro and Sheamus win the tag titles, fine. I would rather it be a tag team that's fought and deserved it more. And I'd rather Cesaro and Sheamus have singles matches. I'd rather have Cesaro and Sheamus wrestle each other again, to be honest with you.
I know. But go ahead, Doomsday. What else you got on Raw? You can skip it. You can go to SmackDown, please.
All right. Next was Bayley versus Anna Fields, a local jobber. Of course, Bayley won. Foley was pissed off at Stephanie because he still doesn't believe her with all the interference that happened the night before. Blah blah blah. Cedric Alexander and Rich Swann faced Gulak and Lince Dorado in a dope tag team match, where Cedric Alexander and Rich Swann ended up picking up the victory.
It was pretty good.
Cesaro and Sheamus ended up picking up a victory against two local jobbers.
It's not, one of them wasn't the one with no chin?
No, it was not, surprisingly.
Were the fans chanting for one of those dudes, too?
I think so.
Because I was like, are they chanting for the jobber? Wow.
Yeah, they like jobbers now, man. That's hey, the man. New thing.
It's what's up.
Well, whatever works. All right, the lady, she fought her wrestling name was Hannah Hartkopf. That's her, she's an Ohio wrestler. There's not much details on her. She's also apparently a gymnast, I guess. A gymnastics coach, interesting.
Yeah.
So, all right. I just looked her up. I was just curious.
Huh. Interesting. Shit, what else happened? Freaking Charlotte, there was a segment with Charlotte and Dana Brooke that I don't give a shit about. What else?
Dana Brooks is just sad.
Yeah, I kind of feel bad for her. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, isn't Emma back? Like, is she cleared now? Like, I know she's not on Raw, but I know
her
she...
Her and Luke Harper are supposed to be cleared.
What?
Yeah. They've been at shows. So has Paige, but Paige isn't cleared to wrestle.
Yeah, the last thing I remember that Emma was doing was that she was in, like, some, like, live event as, like, a special referee or whatever.
Alright.
I like her heel look a lot.
That's it.
And then, hell no. TJ Perkins faced Tony Nese in a dope match.
Crowd was being a bitch about.
Yeah, crowd was being a real bitch.
Right.
About,
like, Tony Nese was there, the premier athlete.
He looked good too.
Like, what's the problem? I thought they had one cruiserweight match. Or they had two.
Yep.
Yeah, they had two. Yeah.
Because I was wondering if they was going to be stingy and just have one, but I'm glad. Okay, so how was this match here?
The match was good, but
it was a good match.
Crowd being a bitch in the middle.
What was they doing? What were they saying?
You know what they were saying.
They were chanting some stupid shit, and then, like, even the announcers weren't as hyped about it as they could have been. It was all ridiculous. Like, Tony Nese did this crazy, like, you know how he does that no hands flip over the top rope?
The Fonzberry flop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No hype over that at all. None.
Corey Graves tried on a couple bits, but I don't know. It was deflating. It was a good match, and I actually watched it. It made me wish Tony Nese was the Cruiserweight Champion, to be honest with you. Because I'm like, damn, he's got the look. He's got the moves. He's got the power. Shit. I want to see Nese and Brian Kendrick at it again.
if WWE will let him wrestle. That's the end quote from the man himself.
No, it was a good match that the middle of the fans pissed me off, and it reminded me why I try to watch as little WWE as possible.
And I'm trying to figure out why most of those fans, and then I'm thinking everyone in the whole world saw the Cruiserweight Classic. I don't think they've seen that. Well, they wouldn't have been acting like that.
I think it's weird because there were fans who were into it, definitely. And I hate to generalize the fans because there were fans who were cheering for the spots that needed to be cheered for. There were fans who liked what they saw of Nice, what they liked of TJ Perkins. But, you know, there's those handful of fans who start chaining some dumb shit, and then some of the casual fans started jumping on there. And that's the problem. You have that. You have a few subsections of terrible fans spreading their terribleness to the more casual fans or the older fans, and it just starts messing things up. And I feel really bad for the fans who are actually there and actually really like what they're seeing, because they know when they get home they're going to be like, they're going to be like, man, the video, you know, the TV fans are hating on us now because of some dumb shit that happened. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to be part of that crowd. You come home, you go home, and like, I can't believe the crowd I was with was chanting fucking CM Punk again. This is some bullshit.
Yo, it was so dumb.
CM Punk lost. He got beat up. He isn't worthy of praise. And for another thing, spanked. I thought this was funny. Apparently, CM Punk once said no Chikara guy would ever make it to WWE, and they fucking teamed Lince Dorado and Drew Gulak in a match. CM Punk's still mad about that Monk shit, probably.
Yeah.
You know Necro Butcher played him, right?
Yeah, that's right.
He needs to get over it, man.
Yo, like, CM Punk no is, like, probably, no, like, one of the biggest haters, like, ever.
He's got no friends anymore. What the hell? Oh, well, he doesn't.
Right.
Yeah, he only even have a cult.
I like Colt Cabana more now, to be honest with you, if this is true. Well, still, I like Colt Cabana more than CM Punk anyway. WWE. That was it for Raw, right?
Hell no. They had a...
Why?
I tuned out after that.
Nah, because, like, there was a freaking... It was a freaking highlight reel with Kevin Owens, and then Enzo and Cass interrupted, and it ended up being tag match.
That's when I turned the thing off. All right.
I'm
coming on, so I had to watch that or something.
I don't know. Like, what else? I think that was it, because like Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho ended up picking up the victory on that one.
Let me guess. What?
What'd you say?
They pinned Enzo, didn't they?
Yeah, of course.
Cassidy's not – Big Cass is not taking no pinfalls.
No, not a single pin. SmackDown wasn't that much better. It was fine, I guess, but still. Randy Orton came out and started talking. Honestly, I muted my TV because I can't fucking stand Randy Orton. I really don't give a shit. But there was an 8-man tag of the American Alpha, Heath Slater and Rhino versus the Ascension and the Usos. Usos came out with new entrance shit, new music, and a new video. I guess they'll build up the video a little more. Because there wasn't too much to it, I guess. But, the match was pretty good. The Usos and the Ascension ended up picking up the victory after the Usos, who did they pin? I think they pinned Slater. They tapped him out, actually. So, because they're really into doing that single leg crab and, like, doing damage to the knees and shit. Because they did heavy damage on Chad Gable's knee and whatnot.
I think Conan used to call that move the Tequila Sunrise.
Yeah.
In Japan, the Tequila Sunrise was actually the half-and-half suplex.
Yeah.
I guess people just like that
Yeah,
I just find it funny Ascension was on the main show.
Yeah, it's a miracle, right?
Oh.
But to lose.
Of course they were booked to lose. Actually, no, they won, though. That's the funny thing.
They're rehabbing the fucking Ascension on SmackDown. They got the Vaudevillains on the SmackDown, too, right?
Yeah, they got the Vaudevillains, but the thing is that I haven't even fucking, like, seen, like, them since, like, early on in, like, the first, like, few weeks of, like, SmackDown.
I imagine they took them off on purpose so that they could, you know, bring them back later.
Bring them back later, yeah.
And not have them look like the dorks that they became.
Give them something.
Dorks.
That's basically what I'm going to call every wrestler who loses quite a bit now.
He's been taking L's like that.
Yes, yeah. The guys they build for, and then they just screw them over. They're dorks now.
Yeah, that's funny. What else was next? There was a whole bunch of backstage stuff. Didn't really have to go too much over it. Like, John Cena and The Miz, because they were in Cleveland. So, like, he was trying to put his picture on one of the walls to replace, like LeBron's and whatnot. And, like, they also had a match between Nikki Bella and Naomi versus Natalya and Carmella. Carmella and Natalya ended up actually picking up the victory on that one. Carmella was talking mad shit at, after it, because of course they got that mad beef with, they got the mad beef between all of them going on. What else? Then there was the whole segment with The Miz. He was addressing the crowd, talking about the Cleveland and how they should respect him. He had his parents out in the crowd. There was Dolph Ziggler's parents out in the crowd. He was talking shit to Dolph Ziggler's parents.
But Cleveland sucks as a whole. They suck. Oh my god, can't wait to get on the Browns next week.
He was talking, yeah, it was so much shit. And then, what else? That ended up being a big thing, because Dolph Ziggler came out, and he was like, you don't disrespect my family, or my city, and all that, and blah, blah, blah. And then Miz was like, all right, I don't even want to even bother with you, because I already beat you twice. So you can get the fuck out of my face. But he was like, nah, you know what? I'll make it worth your while. If you win, then I retire. So now it's basically a Intercontinental title versus career match.
I want to interject because I just looked at the No Mercy poster. Have you seen the No Mercy poster?
Nah.
Which one? The one with that looks like a perfume? That looks like a perfume poster?
With the Miz and Maryse, it is awesome. That shit is beautiful. Miz is A-list right now, man.
Oh, man. That's funny.
Do you think Ziggler's going to lose?
No, Ziggler's winning.
Ziggler's winning this shit. And it can't be no shenanigans, because they already did shenanigans twice already.
It might be shenanigans, but he still perseveres.
But he, yeah, he would.
I mean, hey, they had a best of seven series, and it ended in a no contest and made them a tag team that's going to give them tag titles, so you never know.
So what, it's going to end in no contest, they're going to make them the tag team champions?
I mean, they could be
an Ohio duo. They're both from Ohio.
Well, they was talking about them being a tag team, like, what was it, like 2 years ago, something like that? Because Miz really wasn't doing anything. This was before his movie thing started taking off with him and Sandow. It was like, just pair up them and Ziggler together. Like, they ain't doing anything. And I think Zack Ryder was in that talk, too, I think. But it was like 2 years ago, somewhere in there.
And now we're just sitting here talking about a great feud between The Miz and Dolph Ziggler.
And after
Dolph Ziggler had a terrible feud too, so you know.
Yeah,
I mean Ziggler, come on, man. You know I cheer for that man all the time, and he fucking loses.
Yeah, he's smart too. But hopefully,
not like Bray. Bray is
he will pop out of that.
Bray is actually supposed to be a top-notch guy. Dolph Ziggler ain't facing no Undertaker. You know, he ain't facing no Randy Orton. He's facing mid-carders. Bray Wyatt shouldn't be losing. Dolph loses with a passion. Like,
so you're saying Bray Wyatt's eating short then,
He has a passion for losing.
Yes, and now he wants to put his career on the line. He didn't tell me none of this at all. So I'm just like, look, Ziggler, you lose a lot. You want to put your career on the line? Hey, if he wins, then I will be off the Ziggler train, finally. I just want one more moment, one more Ziggler moment. That's all I want. That's all I want. And that just, and it was the perfect time to do it, but no. That let Dean Ambrose get the win at SummerSlam, the little shit fucker.
And then one of the most disappointing matches I've seen all year.
Yup, and now he's going to have probably another good match with Miz. He's been doing well on that. And I can see him winning, but I can also see him losing too.
But then if he loses, you know that just means he's going to move to Raw, and he's going to lose even more.
I think he'll be done for good. I mean, granted, people never really retire, Terry Funk, and then they'll wind up coming back anyway later on. But like I said, maybe he does need a break. Maybe he does.
Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. Maybe he doesn't.
But I ain't going to say he's going to lose. I'm a cheer for him. Because that's my client. Dolph Ziggler, number one. New champion. All right, that's it. Because that's the most important thing to talk about Dolph Ziggler. Oh, no, wait. They had a main event, didn't they? Was that Cena and Dean Ambrose?
What?
Did that happen last week?
Oh, yeah, shit. Yeah, that happened last week, man. But, yeah, to continue the SmackDown talk and whatnot, Becky Lynch was coming out. I don't even know if she had a fucking match. She was supposed to have a match, but next thing you know, she's coming out. She had her entrance and all that going on, and she gets, clobbered by Alexa Bliss at the ramp.
Hater.
She just beat the shit out of her. Oh, this nigga don't even want to pass. Rude ass nigga. Anyway, I'm sorry. I'm preoccupied. Yo. What was I saying? I'm going, and then, so she basically gets, it ends in her getting laid out, and of course, after that, there's another freaking vignette with Kurt Hawkins facts and shit. That shit is so corny, so terrible. Have you seen them shits?
I saw one, and I turned it off.
Yo, they're really bad.
Ain't that bad.
Yo, they're very cartoonish.
Why are they bringing Kurt Hawkins back?
Oh, no. It doesn't make any goddamn sense.
Because they can't get Shelton, I guess. Or were they planning to bring both of them back?
They were planning to bring both of them. It was supposed to be both of them.
What else happened?
Then, of course, there was Dean Ambrose versus AJ Styles.
That's what that match was.
Yeah, it was supposed to be. It was for the title, which was actually a pretty good one.
AJ Styles carrying Dean Ambrose to another bearable match. That's amazing.
It was a pretty good one. But the thing is that this one ended in, like, shenanigans once again. Because next thing you know, I don't know who provoked John Cena. I think it was AJ. I think he slapped him or something shit like that when he was on commentary. And he ended up getting on the apron. Distracted the ref, things went awry, and AJ Styles was able to roll Dean Ambrose up for the victory, and he retained his title. And then after that, then all hell broke loose. Everybody wanted to fight each other. And then John Cena went into John Cena mode and gave him both AAs and rose the title above his head.
Ugh. It's possible that you can see that.
Yep. And, that was it. So.
I saw
Cena talked some mad trash about, well, not really talk trash about Ambrose. Kind of dismissed Ambrose on talking smack.
Yeah, because, like, the thing is, like, Dean Ambrose has been talking mad shit about John Cena, because, like, he's spouting off at the mouth talking about how John Cena's a part-timer and whatnot, which makes no fucking sense at all to me. None. Because seeing as, like, when he's not injured, he's always here. You know? So it just doesn't, make any sense, man.
I like that he said I was like, I don't hate Ambrose. Ambrose hates me. I don't care about Ambrose, pretty much. I was like, that's old.
Yeah.
Like, he has no strong feelings for this guy whatsoever. Ambrose. We're talking so much trash about him this year, and I'm glad wrestlers on actual WWE are talking mad trash about him. Because even Kevin Owens made a crack about him on Raw before I turned it off.
I forgot what it was. Shit.
He said he wouldn't get dressed up for Ohio because they made the dumpster fire that was
doing it. Oh, yeah, right. That shit was funny.
Yeah, no, it was like, I was like, damn, okay. Okay. Done talking about him.
Alright, so, what? I know y'all got some news for you people. Come on. I know you got something.
I know, Doomsday had some stuff.
I got the news. I got some news. Alright. Santino Marella, they have their whole, what is it called, Fight Network in Canada and shit. They're supposed to air his big thing. Apparently they're doing like a career retrospective for him, which is pretty cool, I guess. And one thing that I think, I don't know if he talks about it on that or elsewhere, but like he brings up the fact that, you know, you
heard about that Jim Cornette altercation, right? That got him fired from OVW?
I heard rumors about it, but I never really paid too much attention. Oh. I knew there was something that happened.
Well, I think that aired earlier tonight, but last week they had talked, like, I think he had broke that, news that, well, not news, but like that whole story that apparently it was an altercation between Santino and Jim Cornette that got him fired. So the story has it that Boogeyman was coming out, and of course Boogeyman was in OVW at that time before he had ended up in ECW, and what ended up happening was the fact that he like made his entrance and everybody that wasn't working was in the crowd, and they had to like kind of like hype it up, like saying kind of like make it seem like he was like some evil being and be scared and shit and whatnot. But apparently Santino's kid was in the crowd too, and she was like, I think she was crying or something like that. And next thing you know, he decides he wants to laugh. So he's laughing at this shit while Marty, the Boogeyman, comes out. And he just like starts I guess Jim Cornette got so pissed off that in the back later, he slapped the shit out of him. Then Santino was like, all right, I'm going to take it. I'm going to take that slap because I don't want to get fired and get deported because he's from Canada and shit. So he ended up doing, doing whatever, and he took it, but people knew what happened, and Jim Cornette ended up getting fired. Then he ended up telling a story of, like, you know why Santino isn't wrestling now, right? Because he had a neck injury. after he had a neck injury and ended up having to retire, he was told, like, he told that somebody that Jim Cornette basically called him and basically mocked him for his neck injury, saying that basically, yeah, he should have been gone from wrestling a lot sooner than that neck injury gave him. So there's that. So anybody who's in Canada or whatever that listens to this, just try to see if you can check out that whole Fight Network retrospective on him and whatnot. His real name, Anthony Carelli, on there and shit. So yeah, that's it. And so what do you guys think about that whole Santino shit?
It's Santino, so I don't really know much care.
I think we all kind of knew that Cornette was a bit of a bitch, but, you know, whatever.
We just banned both of them. Talk about the Meltzer shit. Who got info on that?
Oh, on Twitter, he was like, all right. On Twitter, he decided to, like, basically said that, that the term mark was basically just as derogatory as the N-word or some shit like that. He basically made a comparison to it or some stupid asinine shit, and he tried to kind of, like, defend it, but it was just, like, still, dude, you can't just straight up do that. Like, but, yeah.
Compare those two.
Can't compare.
Especially when just...
Don't ever say that. Like,
Meltzer was cool until he fucked up, man.
And
people always try to find, like, some sort of random word they claim is the same, and it's never something, you know.
It's always white folks.
I know, it's like, first of all, you can't even say the N-word. You can't compare the two if you can say the other word. Come on, dude.
Yeah, you can't do that. And this is like, what can you compare Mark to? Other than the N-word, because that's obviously just wrong.
I mean, on the list of derogatory words, Mark is nowhere close. There's so many. I mean, there are probably words that are close, but they're all other racial epithets for, other people or indigenous people.
Yeah.
And you can still almost say that sometimes.
Like, people, everyone on planet Earth can say Mark.
Yeah.
Anyone. Not everyone can say the N-word.
But I give Booker T credit for saying both Mark and the N-word on WCW television at one time. So,
yeah.
Did both. They're on the same level.
Oh, one thing I had to note about Booker T was the fact that I think he was the only one, I think during I think it was the pre-show of it was the pre-show of Clash of Champions. He was the only one who brought up the WCW Cruiserweights. The only one that I heard on WWE television that brought it up.
And now, like, these new generation of people, you know, growing up in, you know, this limelight of WWE, they have no idea that Cruiserweight division was in WCW. You know, they had no idea.
Amazing!
That's what they start shows off with. You know?
I know, when they were 3 hours, man, that first hour was the Cruiserweights, the opening card guys, the guys trying to break into their card, everybody was working hard, you had flips, you had technical, that first hour, hour and a half had some amazing wrestling.
Yeah, and they were all wearing masks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, all the Cruiserweights, man.
Yeah, at that time, they were all wearing masks. Yeah. It was so cool, though.
Psicosis, La Parca, Rey Mysterio, Hoovy wasn't wearing a mask, he lost his mask early.
He lost his mask, but he started wearing one.
Yeah. He had a terrible mask, though. I'm glad he lost it. His mask was horrible.
Ultimo Dragon.
Oh, man. Then you had the lesser guys. You had Super Cal Low in there, who was a dork, too.
Yeah.
Silver King didn't wear a mask, but Silver King was kind of cool. Oh, and you had El Dandy. Who better than El Dandy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Bret Hart. That's it. Bret Hart said that was his favorite thing he ever did in WCW. He said straight up, that promo where he put over El Dandy was his favorite thing ever. That's how much he hated WCW.
Oh, man. Yeah, but now they get got a cruiserweight division overall, so I guess that's cool. TJ Perkins is great. Cedric is great. Gulak is great. You know, let's take a ride. Grand Metalik is broken. But yeah, still great. Yeah.
And they're doing two matches on a Raw. Thank God.
Two. Count them two.
Well, they needed to, because last week was boring as hell.
What was last week?
Remember they waited all night until they brought the Cruiserweights at, like, late 10 o'clock?
Yeah, Swan and Alexander.
They waited long for it.
You know they had the debate in Monday Night Football to come, you know, to go up against. And what's that? Oh man, what's that show with the black people?
With the black people?
Yeah. Oh my God, what is that show called? Was it Love and Hip Hop? Or the Housewives of Atlanta? Something like that. It's on Monday night and it's always trending over Raw.
That's the one show.
I think it is.
I think it's the Love and Hip Hop in Atlanta.
Love and Hip Hop in some place in Atlanta. I think that's getting more attention than Monday Night Raw is, plus Monday Night Football, and you added on the debate on that, which only debate is only going to be, that Monday. It's not happening every
day. Yeah, that debate, the ratings were ridiculous.
Yeah, for two people, I don't even know nothing about, you know, presidential stuff. I just leave it all out. I don't know.
Man, I'm trying to avoid talking about politics so hard because people keep trying to talk about it.
Yeah, I don't know jack shit about politics. I can't even tell you.
I hate both people. Trump, though.
We are royally screwed.
Yeah, no one wins.
Yeah, we're not winning.
And I'm in California. I'm surprised there are Trump supporters here. We're a Democratic state.
Hey, man, at least you guys get to vote to legalize weed, like, recreationally.
We vote to legalize weed every few years, and for some reason it always loses.
It'll get there eventually for you guys. That's the thing about it. Yeah. It'll happen. It'll happen.
With gay marriage, it turned out all the Mormons were trying to stop it here. that's why it took so long, because you'd think California, for a liberal state, would have been ahead of everybody. Nah. Yeah. Our liberalism is like a shield. This is a pretty conservative state most times.
You know, that's the funny thing. When we get to Maryland is usually, like, straight up, like, Democrat, right? Mm. Every once in a while, we end up getting a Republican, like, governor. Like, same thing with you guys. You guys have had Republican governors, but most of the time you guys are considered a liberal state, right?
Yeah.
But, okay, so we had the whole legalizing marijuana deal for medical purposes. That shit happened years ago. That shit, they're still trying to get the infrastructure together to actually figure that out. That hasn't rolled out yet. I think the vote happened in 2012. It's 2016 and still. Where's the weed at?
Yeah, like, our structure for that is weird too, because it, like, the medical one was kind of going big and some of it, but then laws came in to restrict stuff and they were tearing things apart. We get weird laws, like they keep trying to pass laws about porn, the adult film industry here that's just, like, weird. And then you would read what they were doing.
Yeah, they have those, like, propositions that's going on in your state right now.
Yeah, but some of the actors and actresses said that a lot of it was just so that the state could basically take over the testing themselves and thus make themselves more money for the state. Like, that was... So wow. They're like, well, we need to wear condoms, this, and they need to get testing over here. And they're like, they're just trying to make money for themselves. I remember when they shut all filming down in one county, and then another county suddenly had a shot up of permits, and they were confused what was going on. And they're still doing it. Like, this state is like, come on, this is California.
Yeah, when there's a will, there's a way.
Why is all that we're talking about any of this stuff?
All right, so we veered off way too far.
Oh, yeah, damn.
I'm trying to bring it back to wrestling. Okay, Joey Ryan, wrestle porn stars, there you go.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah, the U-Pornplex. Yeah.
U-Pornplex, there you go. Brought it back to wrestling.
The U4plex?
I think now, yeah, that's, you know, because you know
that's the official title of it, yeah.
Right? Yeah, he's sponsored by U-Porn.
Yeah, which I want to say is probably a California-owned company, but who knows?
Speaking of Joey Ryan, I think now he's taken to dripping baby oil on fans now. So now he has fans taking off their shirts and rubbing lukewarm.
Why didn't he do that, like, years ago when his gimmick was, that's old. That's why his gimmick is probably, 10 years old?
Yo, his gimmick is old as dirt, but it's been working, man.
Yeah, I remember Priestley, Joey Ryan, not as impressive. And yes, U-Porn is a Los Angeles-based company owned by the same guys who own all your 90% of all your free porn sites. So, you know, they not only do they own all the free sites, they actually own a bunch of the legitimate sites. That's why none of those people are getting paid. They can't really sue. Because the main company's making money on advertisement for selling it illegally and selling it legally.
That's crazy.
This is how screwy it is over here. But going back to connecting into wrestling, yes, the U-Pornplex is endorsed by a California company.
Yeah. Yeah, they approve of that message.
Yes.
But, all right.
Sponsorship podcast for them, right?
Other news.
Tuesday, Ryback had a podcast with somebody. Honestly, I don't know what the fuck who he had a podcast with. Somebody uploaded snippets of it, on YouTube, and didn't have the decency of giving the actual title of the podcast that he was on. But he talked in depth about his time in WWE. One thing he talked about was how basically WWE has the chosen ones. They'll limit a lot of their wrestlers' brands just to build up the brands of other wrestlers. Say Ryback, who at some point he stated that he was the second highest merch seller in WWE at the time. He couldn't get some merch approved and whatnot. But at the same time, similar merch was getting approved for other wrestlers. And it's just really messed up. Besides that, then you go to outside ventures. He apparently had talks with different magazines, specifically Flex. You know, Flex is one of those bodybuilder magazines where you got these things that are real ripped, big as fuck, veins popping out all over. Basically his wheelhouse, right? So he told the story of how he wanted to do that, and they said, oh, it's not the right time for it. Tell us about it in a month or two. So he waits, he brings it up again, then they come up with another excuse, saying, oh, well, Flex is known for bodybuilders and all that, we don't want to get the wrong idea from people about steroids and blah, 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 and a lot of the people in there seem like they look like they're on steroids, so we don't want you to do this. So they gave him two bullshit excuses to not, further his brand, which would also further the brand of WWE. And yeah, he's criticized basically WWE's business model of only putting the main focus on a lot of guys and on a few guys and not get any real allow everybody to branch out and really bring attention to the company by bringing attention to themselves. It not only limits the superstars, it limits the business in itself. Because without the other guys getting as big as they are, they're not going to grow, right?
Yeah.
It's silly for them to say that people aren't reaching out for the brass ring if they're stopping them from reaching out for the brass ring.
They really are stopping people.
So it's the brass ring, go get it. He was brass ring, all right. I'm gonna get it. And they're like, whoa, what you doing? He was like, I'm getting the brass ring. He was like, no.
The brass ring is an illusion.
So what do you work for?
you work to get a house
and hope that's good enough.
Yeah, you work, you save up. Hopefully, once you get released, you have enough money to like chill out for a little while, then find other ventures to bust into.
And what about becoming the champion and winning Royal Rumbles and headlining WrestleMania?
Like, it feels like when you're in the WWE, you really have to actually kind of plan for your life outside of the WWE because it's not going to last. So, like, it makes sense for people to, like, once they do get signed, they need to, like, come up with a game plan for like...
A lot of those guys buy restaurants or stuff like that.
Yeah. They might get the
WWE Legends paycheck, so that way they can have somebody run their restaurant and then have the Legends paycheck and they can just retire like that. Sell some merch on Pro Wrestling Team merch and stay at home.
Yeah.
So it's not about headlining shows, and it's not about, you know, being that next face. It's more about a job.
A job, yeah. It's basically a job. That's
yeah. You feel kind of bad because, you know, some guys, because there's a lot of guys who work so hard to get to that brass ring to main event. And then you're happy they get to WWE, and then once they're there, it's like, well, the passion might be leaving them soon because now it's just the day-to-day job.
Cedric has it now. But we'll give him a year or two.
Give him a year, he'll be like, shit.
Yeah, he'll be like Cesaro.
This is just like Ring of Honor. This is some bullshit.
Right.
I ain't gonna go anywhere in this motherfucker.
The only difference is he has more exposure. Now more people are seeing his face.
Yeah.
But ain't that change? It's the business.
It's the business.
Unless you're friends with Triple H, you ain't getting no main event at no Mania. You're lucky to get a main event on SmackDown.
Well, the good thing about like Cedric is at least he has that Triple H stamp of approval. But we all know from guys like Drew Galloway that stamp of approval by higher ups don't really help you that much.
Oh yeah, because he did have that.
Because he had that chosen one shit, and
but was really the chosen one? The chosen one seemed like it was Seth Rollins, but I mean, that's all Shield members. If you're in the Shield, you're pretty much safe.
Yeah.
Like, they got their new stars. They only needed three of them, and there they go.
I don't know. John Cena's going to bury freaking Dean Ambrose, so.
Yeah, I'm talking smack, but.
Yeah.
Dean Ambrose deserved it, though. That's the thing.
Dean Ambrose.
He deserved it.
Ambrose is headlining Mania next year. Roman Reigns already did it. Seth Rollins already did it.
No, like, I'm still holding out hope that it's going to be a headline by Lesnar, Reigns, and then Reigns finally gets the one-on-one match and win that he's supposed to have had.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. They're going to fight for the U.S. Championship.
That would be... Hey, I take that. It doesn't have to be the main event. I'll just take them fighting each other.
And you know it's a Lesnar match, so it's going to be, let's say, about 8 to 10 minutes.
Yeah. The question is, how is Reigns going to actually win it finally? Is it going to be a roll-up?
Just kick him in the nads, like, 4 times.
Yeah,
like,
hell yeah.
Okay.
You only need to keep him down for 3 seconds.
Yeah.
A count-out is way too long, especially how the ref counts nowadays.
So I know, this is not New Japan. Get out. Just get
right, I know, right? Yeah, New Japan, they go by the clock. So, what other news we got here?
News. Okay, I believe Cody Rhodes is, I think he's finally going to end up being in TNA, which is still funny.
Can't be for long, because, like, he's going to Ring of Honor in December for that one show, but I believe just one show.
Yeah, and TNA might not even be around for much longer. Like, they're still trying to, like, beg Billy Corgan to get his shit together and, like, actually buy the company, but it doesn't look good right now.
I heard part of it is that some of the people just don't want to sell to Billy Corgan either.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I've talked about SBG and WWE possibly trying to sign on to, like, put their bid in for it. But it'll be interesting to see what the hell goes on with it. I heard Bully Ray was trying to go back to TNA.
Probably forgot something.
I found that shit funny, but right now, D-Von, he said, fuck it. I'm gonna stay in WWE. I don't know how he got that job.
Yeah, I don't know what he did,
but he's a producer now. He's taking pictures on Twitter and shit. He's like, yeah, I got a job.
It says here Billy Corgan is net worth is $40 million. I guess he just doesn't want to bid all of his own money, but he might have to.
No, that's the thing. Like, TNA may be even worth, like, single-digit millions.
Yeah, they are. They actually are worth, like, maybe, what, $3 million?
They are worth, like, 100 times less than WWE. That's the crazy part about it. God damn. But yeah, man, TNA, get your shit together and whatnot.
Yeah, I should just buy them and make them their official American promotion or some shit.
Yeah.
Then they can leave Ring of Honor, and Ring of Honor could just die. I'm sorry.
Stop.
I mean, come on, they're taking all the good ROH guys.
That would be funny if New Japan's parent company decided to buy TNA. It would be the biggest fuck you to TNA, though, because of how much TNA, like, kind of disrespected their wrestlers throughout the years.
They did nothing with Tanahashi, disrespected Naito, disrespected Okada.
Yeah. Oh, man. And to a lesser extent, they disrespected, what's his name? Shit. That's that dude that's in Los Ingobernables, De Japón, that used to be
Sonata.
Sonata. Yeah, that's right.
Funny thing is, Sonata did better than all those other
guys. Yeah, he did better than all of those, but at the same time, they kind of, like, hit him with some stereotype bullshit, but that was kind of, like, I don't know. But, other news, Tammy Sitch got arrested for a probation violation again. And that was only less than 2 weeks after being rushed to the hospital for a still unknown reason. So shit is not looking good for her at all. Like, she is like the epitome of what you'd call a train wreck. It's a sad, sad state. Shit. I kind of feel bad, but like, but I think she did say some racist shit, so kind of fuck her, I guess.
Kind of.
And not in the way that she did for fucking Vivid. Hell no. No way.
Vivid is such a weird company.
Yeah, Vivid is so fucking weird.
Yeah, the only decent porn story I heard the other day is X-Hamster bought a celebrity sex tape from that Alexis Arquette, you know, from Pulp Fiction.
Oh, right, and they just destroyed it.
It's like, who knew that somebody had some morals here?
No, that's the thing, like, I don't know. Like, I feel like if it was, like, a trash mag, like an e-zine or whatever fucking bullshit, they would buy it and just, like, post it, but, like, I think people have more integrity than gossip rags, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you expect more integrity. So I wasn't surprised by that at all, to be honest.
And it was nice to see that she just passed, too. And, you know, she was important in her way. So, all right.
Damn. But anyway, speaking of people disrespecting.
You, like, lost one of the good ones or something.
Nah.
We keep giving all the bad ones. What the hell is this?
Oh, no, man. Crazy, man.
Yeah.
But speaking of people who need to die. I'm joking, just fucked up.
Let's go.
Zeb Culture. that's Mantel. Apparently he posted some stupid-ass meme that's been going around or whatever that for the past, like, year or two or some shit like that, talking about, like, oh, well, in 19, 16, 18-year-olds were coming out and fighting for World War II. Or World War One, actually, it was 1916, it was World War One and shit, whatever. 2016, they're complaining and wanting safe spaces and whatnot. And, like, he had the audacity. He posted it and then, like, mentioned, I think he added Jim Cornette and Stone Cold Steve Austin and whatnot. I'm like, yeah, I'm backing out of this. So, like, I unfollowed him with the quickness. Thing is that, like, I'm tired of these, like, old-timers, like, complaining about millennials and whatever. Like, the thing is that the millennials are doing shit their way, and old people are just not feeling it. That's the biggest problem, especially in wrestling. Like, wrestling is in the cusp of, like, a renaissance right now, or within that renaissance right now, you know? I think maybe since, like, maybe 2012 to now, things have been, like, a lot. There's been a lot of, like, real, like, building going on within the wrestling scene between WWE, New Japan, Ring of Honor to an extent, PWG to an extent, and other indies. And even the UK has had a huge resurgence and shit. But yeah, old folks cannot, like, let shit go. Like, they always say, oh, it's their way or the fucking highway. Mm-hmm. If you're not doing it this way, then you're not doing it at all. You know, right. Same thing with the fucking, and going back to the fucking Vader and whatever. And yeah, I remember how he was complaining about the Ricochet Osprey match and shit. I'm like, chill out, dude. But speaking of that one, like, I believe on High Spots there's a shoot interview with Will Ospreay, and he
it just came out. Like, I saw a preview of it.
Yeah, I need to see that. And I think he lays into Vader. I need to go.
He was like, "Yo, how far back of the curtain can we go?"
Yeah, because I'm about to.
They're going to be like, yeah, you can go as far back as you want,
He's like, I'm about to shit on this man.
Yeah.
The only thing I don't like about that shoot stuff is fucking Rob Naylor. That dude is really a... That dude is corny as shit.
Is he a mark?
Yeah, he's a fucking, like, marky, smarky mark. Smarky mark in the marky bunch. But yeah, he's such an asshat. I don't know. Like, I remember there was one interview thing. I think it was Seidel and some other people, and like Naylor was like rambling on about some like corny ass shit, and then Seidel was just, his head was spinning, and he was like, I really should lay into this motherfucker, but I don't want to. But, yeah, man, like, dudes, like, that dude just seems like he's just full of himself and all of his fucking knowledge and whatnot, but, I don't know. But, yeah, going back to the millennials, wrestling, and all that shit, yeah, it just seems like across the board in any type of, like, whether it's in regular everyday life, music, you know, music, wrestling, whatever. It just feels like everybody's fucking complaining about millennials, like we're the fucking problem for everything.
Right.
Fuck did I do?
Oh, we found out everywhere else was screwed, and we were happy to find out that we didn't have to always pretend to be happy. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, fuck.
It's like they gave us the internet. We realized everywhere else was bad. And like, oh, so I can actually talk about shit and try something new.
Yeah, it's not going to hurt.
And the irony is that, like, they harp on us about social media and all this shit. But when these old folks are the same motherfuckers who, when it's any type of little problem with internet or social media, they go to us to fix that shit.
Yep. The millennials, the ones they hate.
The ones they hate, we're the ones who fucking fix everything. You don't know how to do shit when it comes to technology. You got the audacity to complain like we don't know anything.
Yeah.
Millennials.
They're always complaining.
It's mostly the same kind of guys, too, these old white dudes.
Always these old white dudes, yeah.
More white people we can talk.
It's always like the
ever talk about white people on this show.
It's always the Jim Cornette types and the Bret Hart types.
Oh yeah, Bret Hart's a natural born hater.
Yeah, so that's the natural born hater hypocrisy.
Right.
Be fair, Bret Hart was hated before.
You gotta
think
about him first.
Let's be honest, he was hated before it was cool.
Yeah.
What other news do we have here?
Oh man. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. So yeah, fuck Zeb Coulter and all these old motherfuckers. They can suck my dick.
All right. Wait. Westside, do you have any news? Or you said
it? I guess tonight's Lucha Underground has an 8-man tag match between the Worldwide Underground and the tag team champions plus Sexy Star, I think. So,
Sexy Star.
Yeah, I could see that happen because she came and ran out.
The last show. Yeah,
I missed the last show. I forgot. Yo, what happened last show anyway?
That six match.
Mac versus Matanza.
Oh yeah, that's right. I heard that was pretty dope.
They didn't even show that one. They showed me the six man. I didn't want to see the six man. I wanted to see Matanza and Willie Mack.
Yeah, they opened the show with that one. It was pretty good. I'm trying to think of if there was another main one to really look out for, but to me the Matanza Mack match was fun. I'd like to see those two go at it again. The six man was okay, but last week's I think set the standard for the rest of the season. So, I'm sorry, the week before. The Killshot and Marty, that's going to be the match to beat so far this year, this season.
All right. So, yes, I will move on to the shows for the weekend. The first show I'm actually going to bring up is from Ring of Honor, their All-Star Extravaganza number 8. This is their live pay-per-view.
Extravaganza.
This is actually, where is this even going to be held? I believe it's not
Massachusetts.
Boston, Mass. The matches that they have here, first of all, if you get there, check this out. They even put this here. If you get here before 8:45, that's the starting time for the internet exclusive triple threat match between Will Ferrara, Silas Young, and Evil.
Silas.
And hopefully Evil will win this match.
Silas.
Four corner survival tag team match. The winner gets a tag team title shot. The All Night Express going up against Dalton Castle and Colt Cabana going up against War Machine and Shane Taylor and the 6'3 Keith Lee. And I believe they're going to have a match on the TV taping in the next show right after that.
That has to be better if they dropped All Night Express.
Yo, people hated them so much.
I've only ever seen like a couple matches with them, but the gimmick I'm seeing is just so terrible.
Oh, the cabinet?
Yeah.
Yeah, the cabinet.
Whereas I like Colt Cabana as a tag wrestler, and I think him and Dalton Castle could be a fun team.
Yeah.
Keith Lee's my shit.
I need to see him. What I've seen of him looks really good.
I haven't seen Shane Taylor, but Keith Lee, that dude is the truth. Big motherfucker.
6'3". Easily.
Just swole all of that.
Just be big. Just be big.
Just a big nigga.
Right, basically. Yeah, six-man tag team match. This is a first-round match. Toriano and I believe they're still IWGP Tag Team Champions, right? The Briscoes?
Yeah, they are. Fucks. Go see the match.
Those guys were supposed to face Leo Rush, Jay White, and ACH, but Leo Rush is going into Germany, and Kushida is going to be taking a place of these guys.
He's going to Germany? Where is he doing the WXW shit?
Oh, he just said Germany. I saw the video on YouTube when they was talking about it.
I think WXW is pretty much Germany's one promotion. Well, the one promotion of notes.
Yeah.
Of
notes. So it'll be Jay White, ACH, and Kushida going up against the Briscoes and Toriano. I really wanted to see Jay White, Leo Rush, and ACH. I thought that was a pretty good team. But I'm just gonna say Briscoes and Toriano go at least past first round. you know, just get the easy win from this. But it should be fun, though. Hangman Page.
Just a quick note. Apparently, there's a lot of fucking promotions in Germany, and they, in fact, have one of the oldest promotions in wrestling promotions in Germany. It's been around since 1912.
Shit. Go find where Leo Rush is going, because the carrot tournament, the 16 carrot tournament, did that already happen?
I thought it happened earlier this year.
I thought it happened already.
Yeah, let's see. I'm looking it up. Leo Rush might mention it on his Twitter.
Speaking of tournaments, you heard about so while you're searching for that, you heard about the Trent Acid Cup, right?
The thing CZW throws every once in a while.
No, this one's like, I think this one's like an unsanctioned, like, thing.
Oh.
Yeah, like, it's okay. It's not a CZW thing. I think it's like some other promotion or whatever. But like, who do they have in it? They got, like, fucking Z-Bar in it. Fucking, Pinky Sanchez. Human Tornado is in that bitch.
Oh, I forgot to plug when my buddy, actually wrestled Human Tornado last month. Down here in L.A.
You did?
Maybe. Yeah, my buddy, Sean Black, I went to high school with him. He's a local indie wrestler out here. And yes, he is black, of course, because his name is Sean Black. But he actually wrestled a Human Tornado out here, so props to him doing his thing.
All right. The
Leo Rush is wrestling WXW.
I knew it.
Going up against Tyler Bate out of Riley. Taimatachi is facing Dragon Lee. Did Dragon Lee ever be on a Ring of Honor show before?
No, apparently they're doing a terrible job of promoting him. This is a marquee match in fucking Mexico. Taimatachi and Dragon Lee. It's the feud that got both of them over in Mexico. So Ring of Honor is dropping the ball on promoting this.
That's Ring of Honor. That's what they do.
Yeah.
Jay Lethal, the non-Ring of Honor world champion, going up against Tetsuya Naito. What happened with these guys? I thought that was the Ignor and Bonobili's teammates.
Naito and buddies walked out on Lethal at a Ring of Honor show.
Oh, that's mean.
Oh, that's crazy. I guess they thought he was a loser.
Probably. Probably don't like bald people.
Yeah, I don't understand why they were hooking them up as a team only to have them split with a really idiotic, like, I don't know, this seems like more of a Ring of Honor booking idea than it was because they did it in Ring of Honor. In New Japan, they actually worked pretty well in the few matches they did, so.
You know what I would like, though? Elgin and Lethal face feud with Los Ingobernables.
That would work.
Ball guys.
So who would win between Naito and Lethal?
Huh?
Well, it is a Ring of Honor show, so probably Naito would win.
Yeah, especially now that he's the IC champion.
Oh, yeah, he ain't losing.
Oh, damn, I didn't even know that. Wow, I thought Elgin still was champion.
I said he lost!
He just said that, like, an hour ago.
Nah, I wasn't paying attention. I had to do some other things. I'm trying to multitask. For the Ring of Honor World Television Championship, my client, Bobby Fish, going up against 44, Donovan Dijak. What's Prince Nana? Isn't that interesting?
Nana have any other clients?
At the moment, no. I remember he was talking to Moose not 2 years ago, but.
He was ogling that big booty
chick. Oh, yeah, the big booty chick from Ring of Honor, right.
I forgot what her name is.
I don't know. They had she was in a six women tag match on YouTube. They just dropped it today. It was pretty bad. Don't watch it. Ring of Honor World Championship. The former champion Michael Elgin going up against the current champion Bullet Club's Adam Cole, baby.
Hey.
And last time they faced each other, I think it was a triple threat match, a final battle. But when they fought one on one, Michael Elgin defeated Adam Cole to become the new Ring of Honor World Champion. In the main event of the show, it is a Ladder War 6. And first of all, I had to think and be like, there were 6 Ladder Wars? There were. Yeah, I actually did a backtrack the other
two. The only one I remember is the fucking Kevin Steen shit.
That was, I think, Ladder War 4. One I forgot was Jay Briscoe and Adam Cole at the Supercard.
Oh, fuck, yeah.
I forgot about that one.
I forgot about that one, too. I remember that shit now.
Yeah, I think the first one, you know, was the Briscoes against Steen and Generico. The second one was Steen and Generico against the American Wolves. The third, oh, damn it, I forgot. Oh, wait, no, All Night Express against the Briscoes. I remember that one. That was Ladder War 3, and then we already named the other two. But the Ladder War we have this time for number 6, the Champions, the Addiction, going up against Motor City Machine Guns. And, oh my god, I forgot the other team. The motherfreaking Young Bucks.
The motherfreaking Young Bucks!
They said that they only had those Ring of Honor tag titles for only a couple of months. They want them back. You know who they took them from, the goddamn Red Dragon.
Yo, yeah.
6-man tag team championship tournament round 1 with Bullet Club versus the Kingdom. The Kingdom. Oh, the New Kingdom from Matt Taven. Okay. Yeah. I was like, who the fuck,
a
Kingdom?
Yo, Matt Taven, I think he's been working in Mexico, right?
Yeah. He had a singles match with one of their big stars, Rush. I didn't watch any of the stuff. The little bit of reviews, they were basically said he was all right. But truth be told, is he was in the ring with some of their better workers, so it had to be okay.
Yeah. Right. See, and that's the thing. Like, I've always thought of Matt Taven as just, like, average. So,
yeah.
Plus, he always has that Pauly Shore look that doesn't help.
But they don't say who. He didn't announce who his Kingdom members were.
No.
They're not saying who the Bullet Club will be using to face this said Kingdom. They just says Bullet Club versus the Kingdom. And it might be a 6-man tournament match, too, because that's what it says here. But the other match, the Cabinet, who we had earlier today, Rhett Titus, Kenny King, Caprice Coleman, going up against Leon St. Giovanni, Shaheem Ali, and Jason Kincaid. You already know who's going to win that one. Cole Cabana and Dalton Castle will be in tag team action. That's all it says.
Silas quick note, the reason why Cole Cabana and Chris Hero haven't gone back to NOAH is budget cuts, apparently.
Okay.
So they're using less foreigners for New Japan that they have to pay for. All right.
Silas Young going up against Jay Lethal. The CZW World Champion Jonathan Gresham will be facing my client Kyle O'Reilly. Toriano going up against Michael Elgin. Didn't they face off at the G1?
Yeah, it was a pretty funny match. Well, my favorite part is because, you know, Yano does that thing where he grabs their hair to draw them down when they try to run away, so they hit the ropes.
Yeah.
He tried to do that to Elgin, but Elgin doesn't got any hair. So he was looking at his hand as he missed, like, what the hell?
New tech, man, new tech. These guys are finally going to face off. War Machine going up against Shane Taylor in the 6-3 Keith Lee. I don't know why they didn't have that on the All-Star Extravaganza show. They wanted to have that four-way. But, hey, it is what it is. Tetsuya Naito and Evil. Going up against maybe the future Ring of Honor World Tag Team Champions, Alex Shelley and Chris Sabin, the Motor City Machine Guns. And The Addiction going up against Jay and Mark Briscoe. No title is on the line from what I know of. But that's okay. I'm cool with that. Actually, this show on Sunday, is TNA's Bound for Glory. Yes, they still have pay-per-views, y'all. The matches that they have here, some of these matches are incomplete, like the, singles match for the X Division Championship, DJ Zima Ion, going up against someone.
Okay.
I mean, it's TNA, just bear with me here. next matchup is a 10-man Bound for Gold Gauntlet match. I'm reading this word for word, where the winner can choose any championship match of their choosing. So I'm guessing it's not like the Money in the Bank, so they're just choosing the match. They're not just cashing in and just 1, 2, 3, yeah, I'm the champion. You actually got to wrestle. I'm thinking that's what they're going to do, so don't quote me on that. Tyrus, Robbie E., Baron Dax, Jesse Godders, Grotto, Rockstar Spud, Mahabali Shira, Basil Baraka.
Who I just looked up, that Sylvester LaFour guy.
Yeah, that's what I said before.
Hold on. He's there now too?
Yeah. Him and the other dude. Yeah, they're both there.
Oh shit, I didn't know that.
Yeah, both there.
God damn.
Yeah, those are the guys that's going to be in that match. Like I said, it's incomplete, so it's two more people that's supposed to be in that 10-man gauntlet.
I'm imagining Cody has to be one of them, right?
Sure.
Okay.
For the TNA Knockouts Championship, the champion Maria going up against former champion Gail Kim. Yeah, she's still wrestling out here, y'all. The Miracle Mike Bennett going up against your client, Moose. That man is getting exposure, man. Actually, both of them. Aaron Rex going up against Drew Galloway. And the winner of this match will be the inaugural Impact Grand Champion. So they ditched the King of the Mountain Championship. But they actually got a new belt, though. It's not a rehash of the Legends title, Global title, TV title. King of the Mountain title. It's different. It's actually a different belt. So they're being serious this time. Falls Count Anywhere, No Holds Barred, War Match for the TNA World Tag Team Championship. The Decay of Abyss and Crazy Steve with Rosemary going up against the Broken Matt and Brother Nero, Matt Hardy, and Rebecca Hardy. You know, just call her Reggie Sky.
They gotta Caucasify her name.
I know, right? And for the main event of the show for the TNA World Heavyweight Championship, the champion Lashley going up against Ethan Carter III. You know, this show, I actually like the Ring of Honor card better. The All-Star Extravaganza card. This show seems... This might be on par with a Night of Champions or something. Clash of Champions, whatever. Fuck, I'm not gonna change my mind on that. I don't know. The card is okay, nothing to blow away. But I guess, I mean, what other stars do they have? They really don't have much. So that's what they're gonna do. Dreamwave is having their show called Hardcore Halloween. Don't get any ideas, not sponsored by Pornhub. Although, Joey Ryan is on this show, and he's facing Little Guido for no reason.
Little Guido.
That actually might be kind of weird. AR Fox is going up against Cody Rhodes on this show. And it was supposed to be Lince Dorado going up against Prince Mustafa Ali for the Dreamwave Championship, but Lince Dorado, I'm guessing, is WWE bound. So,
yeah, I don't know if he's going to have the same contract Gulak and Nice have, because Gulak and Nice are still going to be doing indies, so they're like raw part-timers.
See, and what I heard about Gulak specifically is that originally they wanted him as a coach, and they kind of like changed their mind. They were like, all right, we're going to like give you this like temporary type shit. You'll be on and off. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah, some of the guys, it seems, really like him as a singles wrestler, because when they were promoting him on Raw, the other one, they kept pointing out his finisher as being the best submission finisher right now, which I thought was fascinating.
Oh, hold on. Yeah, Prince Mustafa Ali versus Mr. Forfeit. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I was saying that when they were promoting Gulak on Raw, they kept highlighting his finisher as one of the best finishers right now. So
yeah,
I thought
they were
that
hyping
was...
him up, man.
He did hit a mean-ass suplex on that one, though. The crowd thought he killed Cedric.
No, Cedric never dies.
No, he doesn't.
No, he does not. All right, five-star wrestlers time. If y'all ready?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go. The first team. Actually, this is going to be a tag team list. So, get your beers ready. Get your monies ready. Talk about the tag team of beer. Come on, y'all. Damn. Beer Money. Beer Money Incorporated. You guys suck.
I honestly thought you were going to say...
Get your beers ready. Get your money ready. It's time for Beer
Money Inc.
Thank you. Westside Goff, you got any thoughts on the tag team of Beer Money?
Okay, I'm looking them up because that has been a while. All right, okay.
James Storm and Bobby Roode?
Oh, they're fine. That's all I got.
Really?
Newsday, you got anything on these guys?
Yeah, they were really entertaining tag team, man. Really enjoyed that shit. Like, when they first came up, together after they drifted off away from their respective groups and tag teams, it just seemed like an odd coupling, but it worked. But they were a dope ass tag team, man.
I would say if it wasn't for the AMW being teenage best tag team, I would say Beer Money.
Exactly.
And then maybe the Wolves, because they're just the Wolves.
The Wolves.
But yeah, Beer Money was entertaining. They had that pyro in there, and I love their Best of Seven series or Best of Five series with the Motor City Machine Guns. Where that ended, what was that show called? Rob Van Dam. The whole effing show, that's what it was called. The whole effing show. Loved that match. That was great. But, I think maybe it has all to do with James Storm, because he was good on AMW and Beer Money Inc. And I believe they teamed up again earlier this year to win the tag titles before Bobby Roode got signed. But, yeah, I like it. Beer Money was the shit. They really were. And if it wasn't for AMW, they'd be the second best tag team, in my opinion. Next tag team, another TNA tag team. They're actually the current TNA tag team champions. Talking about Abyss and Crazy Steve, the K. Now, I haven't seen a match of them. Actually, I've probably seen one match. But mostly, I like Crazy Steve more than Abyss. I think I had enough of Abyss. But as far as them as a team, I like how crazy they are. I love crazy shit. That's why I like the Age of the Fall so fucking much. I did like the Wyatts until they started losing. Dang, my fault. But Doomsday, you got any thoughts on the Decay?
Yeah, I really don't give a shit about them.
Mm-mm. It's a TNA team. It's not your fault. If they were in WWE, they would lose just as much as the Wyatts.
Oh, most definitely.
Yeah. Westside Goss, you got anything on Decay?
Not as a team. I think Abyss is an okay big man. I've never seen Crazy Steve. I'm a fan of Rosemary when she was Courtney Rush on the indie scene. I thought she was a very talented wrestler. Yeah.
She adds a lot to that team, too.
Huh?
I said she adds a lot to that team, too. She doesn't even wrestle, but she's a good backup.
Yeah, she has a type thing. She was kind of a comedy wrestler for some of the stuff she did in Shimmer. She was actually Sarah Del Rey's tag team partner right before Sarah Del Rey got signed, so they were the champions briefly. But there was this great bit where she was trying to get Sarah Del Rey to dance, but she can't dance either, so she was doing the worst Running Man ever.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it might be on Shimmer. It's actually, on YouTube. It's actually kind of funny. But see, I kind of wanted to see how she works as a more intense person, because I know her as a good wrestler who was good at comedy, too. But, I've been curious about the Decay. I just don't feel like trying to watch TNA.
Like I said, it's not your fault. Wait, Doomsday, you said you had nothing on Decay, right?
Yeah, I don't have shit.
All right. I know we already talked about Bobby Roode earlier when we talked about Beer Money, but we're going to talk about him again as he used to team up with Austin Aries. They was called the Dirty Heels. I heard a lot of good things about them, but I never saw them wrestle. But I'm pretty sure if they teamed up in in NXT, this shit would probably be super awesome. The Dusty Rhodes, classic thing. Bobby Roode is teaming up with Ty Dillinger, and I thought he was going to team up with Austin Aries just so everybody can be like, oh, shit, the Dirty Heels are coming back. But no, they didn't. Doomsday, you got anything on Dirty Heels?
No.
West Side Girl?
The only thing I remember from the Dirty Heels was a couple of promos I accidentally caught, and they were good promos.
Accidentally caught?
I don't know. I think I was flipping through channels, and I stopped is this wrestling? This is how bad I don't follow TNA. I didn't even know they still had a show. And I think I thought their rapport was really good. I think I might have seen a match with them. It's hard to say, but I thought it was a very good idea for them to team. and what I saw was interesting. But I've been burnt so much by TNA that I just cannot get myself.
Yeah. Like, I missed this because I stopped giving a fuck about TNA. But if you look at their, like, rapport, Bobby Roode is a pretty good tag team wrestler, and so is Austin Aries.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I liked Aries and Strong when they were teaming way back. And, you know, they're both good tag wrestlers. So, but like I said, I liked the little bit I saw. It's just, it's TNA, man.
I know. It's not, like I said, hey, it's not your fault. You have no control over this. Next up, another TNA tag team.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. We're getting them all out today. These are the former NWA tag team champions, and I believe they're former. What? The Naturals? No. No, no, no. This is Homicide and Hernandez, the Latin American
experience. Oh, LAX is my shit.
Yeah.
Yo. Supermex? God damn. Yo. They used to go off, man. That Gringo Killer.
Right.
Yo.
That shit was gnarly.
The Gringo Killer and the Border Toss. God damn. Yo.
These guys had a war with Christopher Daniels and AJ Styles.
Yeah.
That was great. And I did not know. This is around when Homicide was, like, hot. Because this is, like, 05, 06. And I had no idea what Ring of Honor was. So I didn't even know. That was back when TNA and Ring of Honor were doing, like, you know, you could flip between the two and you'd be
yeah,
all right.
Yeah, because, like, you'd have Homicide jump between Ring of Honor and TNA. You had Roderick Strong did the same thing.
Aries
would
AJ Styles. I think Abyss did a couple of Ring of Honor shows before.
Yeah, yeah, I talked about it. Him, Jimmy Rave, and Alex Shelley were, like, won a three-man trios tournament in ROH. And Abyss never got his title shot. I was complaining about this, remember? Because I said that the winners each got a title shot, so as Jimmy Rave got a title shot, and then Alex Shelley got a title shot, that was during, like, the whatever anniversary shows they did right before the CZW ROH feud. But Abyss never got his title shot, and to this day, I'm pissed off.
That's not fair. Yeah, but Latin American Exchange representing the Latino nation, and Conan would be coming out in the wheelchair. It is just was like the scene was just so good. I love their theme music. But I had no idea Homicide was as big as he was in that time. And, but then they became a tag team, and then they drifted off, and he became Supermex, and I think they tag teamed again later on in the career, and then Homicide just became a drifter in TNA. And now he's just a drifter. Now. I don't have, Homicide, no, not Homicide, Hernandez was on Lucha Underground, right?
Then he fucked his career up, sort of.
Yeah, he fucked it up, like, really, cause, like, I think he had agreements with, like, what, who else, he had an agreement with TNA, too?
Yeah, he was going back to TNA, but he wasn't out of his Lucha Underground contract.
Yeah, so they were like, all right, fuck you, we're not.
I'm actually going to try to find that match, LAX versus Styles and Daniels. I think they had
the one in the cage?
Both of them. I want to watch both of them.
I liked LAX. I thought they were, that was actually... Well, I actually kind of drifted back to TNA to watch that feud. And then eventually TNA burned me and I stopped. But that feud was excellent. And I liked Homicide quite a bit. People don't know, but Hernandez was briefly in Ring of Honor 2 for a short time.
Hot stuff.
Yeah, Hot Stuff Hernandez. And I felt kind of bad because I thought he was pretty good, but I guess some of the ROH fans didn't. But there was a really pretty good match between a young Hernandez and Samoa Joe. And this was early into Samoa Joe's Ring of Honor title reign, too. Maybe a less than a year in. But I enjoyed LAX quite a bit. And God damn, does TNA just ruin all the good shit?
Hell yeah, you know they did. Come on now.
They did team up when King of Trios came back, but they teamed up with Chavo Guerrero. They did. It was a pretty decent match. I think they had with Icarus and the Throwbacks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but LAX was shit. I loved them teams. All right, and the last tag team from TNA. Well, actually, they're now in Ring of Honor. They're the Ring of Honor tag team champions, The Addiction, a.k.a. Bad Influence. I don't hate this tag team. I just hate that they have the tag titles. I think that's about all I can really say. I know they're a good team, but, like, no. Yo, just no. Why did they take the titles off of the goddamn War Machine? I have no idea why they did that. Like, I'm pretty sure Bad Influence was entertaining in TNA, but...
Yo, Daniels had this, like, dope-ass, like, four-minute, like, promo thing that's on YouTube now, if you want to check that out. It was actually pretty cool.
Well, then they wasn't going to let Kazarian do it, because...
Yeah, they did. They had Christopher Daniels do it alone.
Hell yeah, I would have did that shit alone. I'm not doing it with that guy. I mean, yeah, he could cut a promo, but not a passionate promo. Let that man. I mean, because maybe was that a sign that he's slowing down?
Yeah. This is basically what he's talking about. Basically saying that, yeah, this is basically it for me. Wrestling is it for me. Yeah, I've been a husband for this how many years. I've been a father for how many years. I've been terrible at both, and wrestling is the only thing I'm good at. So I'm going to die doing this, I'm going to be happy.
But as a tag team, I guess they're okay.
Oh, wow, that's faint praise. The most I've ever seen of the Addiction was in the World Tag League last year. And
they
were bland?
Bland, I mean, yeah.
They weren't bad. They were just kind of forgettable. I mean, because I think they were Block A, so they were basically up against the two popular tag teams of Elgin Tanahashi, which came off really hot, and Great Bash Heel with Hanma and Makabe. So they were kind of, I mean, they weren't, I don't think they were the worst team in there. It's just when you think about it, everybody really cared about those other two teams, or even Okada and Yoshihashi were more important. I thought I liked a couple matches I saw with them in PWG when they got out of TNA. Well, those were okay. And that's it.
Yeah, that's all I got on those guys. Like, I have no idea what they did in TNA, but I heard they were entertaining.
They had some, like, comical shit. I remember they came out in the orange and blue suits that worked.
Oh, Dumb and Dumber?
Dumb and Dumber suits, yeah. The tuxedos, yeah, the tuxedos with the top hats and cane shit. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's it. That's all.
Yeah, that's about it.
Nah.
This was a very weak list, man.
Very weak.
It's TNA. We never talk about those.
It's all TNA shit. Like, we know, if you could talk about TNA from, like, maybe, I want to say, like...
Current TNA?
No, like, if you could talk about random TNA from, like, maybe 2008 and back, I may have something to talk about. But, like anything... After 2008, some of it's like mad muddled for me.
The only real TNA I can go off on is back when they started the X Division, because that was my shit for the
first like the year. the mid 2000s or something.
Maybe.
Like that.
I just remember when it was AJ Styles versus Loki versus Jerry Lynn on half of their shows, and they were awesome. I was all into those matches.
They'd have dudes like Elix Skipper was on that shit, too.
Yeah, Amazing Red was killing it. They had Mr. Wannabe Slim Shady Slim J on there trying to kill himself.
And what do they have now?
They had Michael Shane on there, too. I remember that.
Both of them were Ring of Honor guys.
Oh, yeah.
All of them, you said,
remember that,
was in Ring of Honor at a time.
And I remember Johnny Devine. I remember that guy.
Johnny Devine, Jesus, that's a name I haven't heard in a while. And he used to keep a Quiet Storm, who's now living in Japan and wrestling for Noah.
Yeah, that's all he does. He's been living in Japan and wrestling for Noah. That's been his thing for, like, years now.
Yeah, old school. Back when they had the pay-per-view every Wednesday. It was $10, I think.
Alright, I'm done.
Done.
Plug your ish.
Alright, Doomsday519.tumblr.com, @JoeyDoomsday on Twitter, Doomsday Space 519 on YouTube as my primary channel. Doomsday Space Gorilla, spelled as in PWG Gorilla, YouTube as my secondary channel, and Doomsday Gorilla as my Instagram. And that's about it.
Alright, and what's up?
If you need me, you'll find me probably retweeting wrestling gifs and talking trash.
And I am at NNZ Podcast on Twitter. Follow Rant EM Radio on Twitter at Rant EM Radio. Listen to Freaks and Effing Geeks. And
quick reminder, RantEMRadio.com on Friday. Sorry.
Who's on Friday?
Luke Cage.
Oh, Luke Cage. Oh, shit. Yeah, that's right.
Yes. They talk about that at school all the time. Luke Cage and Mouse Fire.
Hell yeah. Right. But yeah, RantEMRadio.com. Watch live, listen live and all that jazz.
Listen live.
Listen live. And not jive.
Not jive. Right. And that is it. We'll be back next week to rant on some more wrestling, or maybe Dean Ambrose. Doomsday, give us the kind words, sir.
Hey.
Smoke weed every day. Legalize that shit.
Legalize it.